I think all of you have something on your head. Everlasting joy! Praise the Lord! It's been so good to be with you this weekend. Are you in the Jubilee?
Amen.
Have you received this word of Jubilee? If you've received this word, then in the last message we see that we need to proclaim the Jubilee. If you've enjoyed it, you have to share it. It's not just for you, it's for the whole world. It's for all mankind. Actually, dear young people, what we've been enjoying this weekend is what every single man needs. This is what man was made for. To enjoy God as his possession. To be released from every kind of bondage. And to enjoy the family of God. This is what God wants us to do. So we've seen this weekend, we started with the age of Jubilee. We saw the type in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 25, of the Jubilee. This is something that actually happened in the Old Testament. We saw the prophecy in Isaiah 61 of one who would come to bring the Jubilee. And we saw the fulfillment in Luke chapter 4. Have you enjoyed this? Today, this word is being fulfilled in your hearing. It's being fulfilled in our hearing, saints. What a blessing that we have been under the hearing of the Jubilee of grace. Wow. Without this, where would we be? If you never heard of the Jubilee, where would you be this morning? Lost, right? Poor, captive, blind, oppressed. Like so many others that we know of. Maybe some of our relatives, our friends, our neighbors, our classmates. This is where they are. So they need you. They need you to speak to them. I just was considering in this message, just think for a moment of who it was that shared with you about the Jubilee. Yeah, who was it? In all our lives, there was someone, right? There was someone that shared about the Jubilee. Someone shared with you about Jubilee Jesus. You were living your life. Maybe you were a good person, but you weren't in the Jubilee. Maybe you grew up in the church life. You're a Christian. You're in a Christian family. But you never really touched and experienced the Jubilee. And someone shared with you. Someone spoke to you these words of the Jubilee, right? All of us receive the Jubilee through someone else, right? Even the Apostle Paul. Jesus spoke to him directly. But then really to enter into the Jubilee, you know what he needed? He needed a little brother named Ananias to lay his hands on him so that his eyes could be opened. All of us are here because someone proclaimed the Jubilee to us. We should consider that a little bit. And consider, how will other people hear of the Jubilee? How will they know about it? How will they know that there's a release? How will they know that God could be their portion? Who's going to tell them? You say, the brother next to me, the sister next to me. How about us? Just consider this morning, maybe three people, three friends, relatives, classmates that you know. Three people. Maybe they're not even unbelievers, right? You know, this word of the Jubilee, it's not only for unbelievers, but it's really for all of us, right? Have you sold some of your possession? Have you really enjoyed Christ to the full? Or have you sold some of Christ? Have you sold it for other things? You've enjoyed other things in the world, and you haven't enjoyed Christ that much. So you need the Jubilee. I needed the Jubilee this weekend. I don't know about you, but I'm getting set free. I'm starting to see more of my inheritance, meeting by meeting. Consider who you could share the Jubilee with, right? We all need to speak this Jubilee. Just imagine if 500 of us, after this conference, even on the way back, we just started texting, tweeting, whatever medium you want to use. But you just started to share with people about the Jubilee. What if you just shared with 3 people this coming week? That would mean that 2,000 people heard about the Jubilee. Us and the other 3 people that each one of us shared with. Isn't that awesome? And if they heard about the Jubilee, maybe they'll share it with someone else. Oh, the Jubilee needs to get a lot of hits. We need to have a lot of views of the Jubilee. Right? Isn't this worth seeing? Isn't this worth talking about? Forget about so many other things. Right? The world is just carried away with vanity. We have the Jubilee, saints. Oh, this is so precious. So we're in the age of Jubilee. We're enjoying the blessings of the Jubilee. What are the blessings? Number one, God is our possession. God is our portion. He's this vast, exhaustless portion. The unsearchable riches of Christ. The good land. The good land is a type of the all-inclusive Christ. I don't know how big is your Christ, but the Christ in the Bible is all-inclusive. All-inclusive. We've just seen a little bit this weekend. Maybe your experience is just a small amount of Christ. He wants to give you the all-inclusive Christ. He wants to be everything to you. This is the first blessing we receive in the Jubilee. Then we also receive release from all bondage. I believe some of you have been released from particular matters this weekend, right? Through the Lord speaking, we could see, oh, I didn't even realize. I was just lying there on the table, manipulated by Satan. The whole world lies in the evil one. But this weekend, our eyes are open. We begin to see, I don't want to be manipulated. I don't want to be in bondage to so many things. I want to be freed. How can you be freed? In your spirit is the law of the Spirit of life. When we turn on this switch, when we say, Lord Jesus, we activate that law. And that law frees us from the law of sin and death that's in our flesh. This is our need, all of us. How can you enjoy all the riches? The Lord is rich to all who call. How can you be freed? Activate the law of the Spirit of life by calling on His name. The Lord has given us a wonderful way, so simple. We can all do it, to just call on the Lord's name at any time and in any place. This is how we can practically enjoy the blessings of the Jubilee, right? And we saw last night, we don't want this weekend to be a time in the Jubilee. We actually want to have our whole life a living in the Jubilee. How can you have a living in the Jubilee? Not just an experience of the Jubilee, not just a 48-hour Jubilee, but how about the rest of my life Jubilee? Who wants that? Yeah, sign me up. I want a living of the Jubilee. This is what we want for all of you. But how can you have that? You can only have that by having Jubilee Jesus. You have to be with Him. You have to remain with Him. You have to stay with Him. You have to enjoy Him day by day. You have to call on Him. You have to spend time to pray. How much time do you pray? You know, this morning I was enjoying one of the delicious teas that the saints provided for us. And I looked on the bag, and you know what it said? It said, take this bag of English breakfast tea, put it in a cup of hot water, and steep for 3 minutes. Oh, that was so fresh to me this morning. I just thought, Lord, this is what You're speaking to me in this conference. You know what I need to do? I need to steep in Jubilee Jesus. Yeah, I'm like the hot water, right? And I need to get with Jubilee Jesus. Yeah, He's in me. But you know what? Sometimes, have you had this experience in the morning? You go to pray, you go to open the Word, and you spend a minute. Oh, I got to go. Oh, I got a text. Oh, and you're out of there. You take the tea bag out. You put it in and you took it out right away. There was no steeping. There was no remaining in His presence. There was no beholding. There was no breathing of the Jubilee Jesus. So you didn't change your color very much. You didn't get teified. You didn't get deified. Right? You need to spend time with Him, to mingle with Him. Let Him mingle with you. Let Him set you free from so many bondages. Let Him be your inheritance. Let Him be your portion. This only happens by spending time with Him. Right? You have to do this. This is the way to have the living of the Jubilee. Is come to Jesus all the time. All the time. Come to Him in the Word. Right? Spend time in the Word. Because the Word will share with you all the riches of the good land. You don't even know how rich He is. You know why? Because you didn't read the Bible. You don't even know what you're set free from because you never read the Bible. You know what the Bible is? The Bible is God's will. The Bible is telling you what's in the inheritance. You didn't even know what's in the inheritance because you didn't read the Bible. The more you read the Bible, the more you see how rich you are. Brother, what's your name? Tim. Tim, you're rich.
Amen.
$6 million.
Amen.
That's nothing. The triune God.
Amen.
As your portion.
Amen.
For eternity.
Hallelujah.
But you gotta read about it. The Bible is the will where all the bequests are explained to you. The more you read it, the richer you will become. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Thank you, Brother Tim. I believe you're enjoying the Jubilee. I can see it. Yeah, I can see it shining out from you. So, saints, this is a living that we all need. And now this morning we come to message 4. Could we read the title together? Message 4. Let's read this together. The proclamation of the Jubilee. In order to maintain your living in the Jubilee, you know what you need to do? You need to proclaim the Jubilee. In order to maintain a living in the Jubilee, you need to proclaim it. That means you need to speak about it. Whatever you speak about is what you're going to live. Right? Whatever you speak about. What you speak about is what's filling your inward being. Right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I believe this weekend, the Lord has filled your heart with the Jubilee. Your being is filled with the Lord. You love the Lord. You're enjoying the Lord. Now what should you do? Speak. You know what it means to proclaim? A proclamation is a public. Isn't that good? It's not private. Don't just, oh Lord, I'm in the Jubilee. Amen. It's a public. You need to tell people about it. This is some good news. It's a public official announcement. We all need to make a public official announcement. And you know what this announcement is about? It's especially one dealing with a matter of great significance. A public official announcement, especially one dealing with a matter of great significance. Is it not of great significance that man could come back to God? That man could be freed from all the bondage? Don't you think this is a great thing? Don't you think your friends should know about this? Or are we just gonna keep it to ourselves? We're enjoying the Jubilee. Praise the Lord. I don't want anybody else to know about this. What do you do when something great happens in your life? You tell everybody. You got accepted. You're transferring next year. And you got accepted to UC. Dun, dun, dun. Whatever it is. To Cal State. The dream school. It has the program that you wanted. I don't want to tell anybody. What? You're not like that. Even the most shy and reserved person. Oh, when they get good news, they're going to tell people. Saints, this is the best news that we've received. God is our portion. We've been released. How could we not tell others? We have to proclaim the word, right? We have to proclaim it. This is the way that you can continue to live in the Jubilee, is speak this. Wherever you go, just speak it. This is not just speaking for unbelievers, right? Usually in the fall semester at most of our campuses, we have a table, we contact the freshmen, we meet new people, we share with them about our club, right? But I would tell you, all year long, you need to speak the Jubilee. You need to speak it to each other. You need to speak it to me. Am I fully enjoying God as my portion? Not yet. Am I fully released from all kinds of bondage, including anxiety and the labor to be a good person? I'm not fully released. So we have to keep speaking. Keep speaking until we're brought into the reality of all that we've heard this weekend. Right? This is the way that you will be brought into the Jubilee, is by speaking. Speak to one another. Speak to one another. We really enjoyed in the summer, in the book of Genesis, the example of Joseph. Joseph was brought in to the reality of his dreams by speaking. Speaking brings you into the reality of all that you've seen. This is the secret. Never stop speaking. Even if it hasn't happened, even if you're like, you know what, I'm still in bondage. But you know what? I believe in the Jubilee. I believe the Lord is going to set me free from all bondage. You just keep speaking. Speak to one another, and the Lord will carry this out. The Lord will fulfill this word in all of us. This is a secret. We need to speak. The word proclamation or proclaim is mentioned 15 times in the New Testament. Jesus proclaimed. He said, this is the reason I became a man. This is the reason I was sent, was to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. For this reason I was sent. Then he sent out the disciples. What did they do? Proclaim the gospel. Then what did the apostles do in the epistles? Proclaim the gospel. Eventually Paul tells us in Timothy, proclaim the word. Proclaim the word. Be ready in season and out of season. When people are open or when people are not open, be ready. Proclaim the word. This is the Lord's charge to us. He needs young people today who would proclaim the word. In Roman numeral 1, we see that the Lord Jesus, as God's anointed one, began his ministry by proclaiming the acceptable year of the Lord, the New Testament Jubilee of Grace. This is what the Lord did. The first commission of the Lord as God's anointed one, and the reason that he was sent, was to preach the gospel and to announce the good news of great joy to all the people. It's very interesting in Luke chapter 2, you know, when the Lord became a man, you know who announced this great event? Do you remember? In the beginning of the Gospels, the Lord became a man. Is that a great event or not? The greatest event in human history is the incarnation of God into man. The Word became flesh. Now, I'd just like to share with you what happened here. There were some shepherds in the field, and an angel came. An angel of the Lord stood by them. This is Luke 2, 9. An angel of the Lord stood by them. The glory of the Lord shone upon them, and they feared greatly. The angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I announce to you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Who announced the good news in this time? An angel. An angel. In the Old Testament, you see at different times, angels came to announce the good news. The good news. So an angel comes to announce good news of great joy. You know what the great joy is? Jubilee Jesus.
Yeah.
Because today a Savior has been born to you in David's city, who is Christ the Lord. Jubilee Jesus. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothing and lying in a manger. And listen, suddenly, verse 13, suddenly the angels are speaking the good news. And suddenly, there was only one angel telling the good news. Suddenly, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly army praising God. Praising God. That means the other angels, they couldn't wait. There was only one angel sent to announce the good news, but the other, man, we gotta, come on, brothers, come on, come on, brothers. Yeah, there's one angel announcing the good news, but there was a multitude.
Amen.
And what were they doing?
Praising
God!
Amen.
They couldn't wait. The other angels couldn't wait to tell the good news. They praised God and they said, glory in the highest places to God. And on earth, peace among men of His good pleasure. This Jubilee Jesus was coming to be a man, to bring the Jubilee to us. The angels spoke it. But now I like to tell you, in this age, the age of grace, you and I have the greatest privilege to be able to share the gospel of the Jubilee. The angels told the shepherds about Jesus becoming a man. But who will share the gospel of the Jubilee? This is the age of grace. This is the age of the Jubilee. We're living in it. But the way that Jubilee is communicated, is shared with other human beings, is through you and I. Through you and I. You know, we all believe that the Lord's coming is very soon. We don't know how long it'll be. And you know what that means? That means that the age to share the Jubilee is coming to an end. We may only have a few more decades before the Lord comes. And you know what that means? There's only a short time that you and I can share the Jubilee. The gospel of the Jubilee will end one day. And you know what it tells us in Revelation? I was looking at these verses the other day. Revelation chapter 14. At the end of the age, there's a great tribulation on the earth. The gospel of the Jubilee is no longer preached. That means there's no longer an opportunity for man to receive God as his inheritance and to be freed from all bondage. You know what's preached at the end of this age in Revelation 14? There's another gospel called the eternal gospel. You know what that gospel says? Fear God. Fear God. In Revelation chapter 14, I'll just give you the reference. Revelation 14, 6 and 7. Yeah, in these verses, we see that there's an angel who speaks these words. Another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to announce to those dwelling on the earth, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come. And worship Him who has made heaven and earth and the sea and the springs of water. You know what that means, saints? That means the gospel of Jubilee is ended. And who's speaking the gospel, the eternal gospel? An angel. The angels spoke in the Old Testament. The angels will speak at the end of this age. But you and I have the privilege to speak the gospel of grace. To speak the gospel of the Jubilee. This is our commission. You know what the purpose of your life is? Not to get a degree and get a high-paying job, get a big house, nice car. The purpose of your life and the purpose of my life is to proclaim the Jubilee. Wherever we go, the Lord may put you in a high position. Maybe you'll be a professor, a lawyer, a doctor. But you know why you're there? To proclaim the Jubilee. You know why you're at your school? to proclaim the Jubilee. That's why. The reason He has you where you are is because He needs you to proclaim the Jubilee. If you're not there, there'll be no one who knows about the Jubilee. No one to share with the mankind who's blind, who's in captivity, who's poor, who's oppressed. There's no hope for them. They have no hope. They're without God, and they're in the world. But the Lord sent you there. The Lord sent you there. This is the greatest commission. This is the greatest purpose of our life. Enjoy the Jubilee and proclaim the Jubilee. So this is the time. In B it says, the acceptable year of the Lord is the New Testament age, typified by the year of Jubilee. The time when God accepts the returned captives of sin and when those who are oppressed under the bondage of sin enjoy the release of God's salvation. Dear saints, this is the time. It's only this time, it's only this period of time when God accepts mankind. As we saw, once this age is over, the next age, the kingdom, no longer will there be a time of God to accept man. God accepts man, how? Based on his believing into Christ. When we believe in Christ, we're justified and we're accepted by God. But that won't last forever. That won't last forever. I hope you have a little impression this morning. We're in a special time. This is the acceptable time. This is the time. This is the age when God accepts fallen man. But we need to speak this gospel of the Jubilee. Now, according to Luke 4, the Lord Jesus proclaimed the Jubilee on a particular Sabbath day in Galilee. But during the centuries that have followed, the Jubilee has been largely neglected. Did you ever hear the Jubilee before this weekend? I don't know if some of you are, I know some of you new students. You just met, Christians on campus, your club. You've just been coming to the Bible studies a few months. Maybe you even never even heard such a word, Jubilee. Jubilee was not in your vocabulary. Now you go home and you're just Jubilee this and Jubilee that and Jubilee Jesus. Yeah, you're full of Jubilee. You're a jubilant Christian. But before that, have you ever heard of it? This is hidden. This is buried. Christians don't talk about the Jubilee. But we need to preach this. Therefore, we need a recovery of the New Testament Jubilee in our experience and in our preaching. We need to experience it and we need to speak it. Many people who experienced the Jubilee when Jesus was on the earth, what did they do? They spoke. I just give you a few examples. In the Gospel of Mark, there was a leper. No one wanted to touch him. Would you touch a leper? Leprosy, right? Contagious disease. Leprosy. Lepers were just ostracized, right? Put in their own camp. No one would ever touch a leper. And one day, this leper came to Jesus. And Jesus saw this leper, and he just had compassion on him. Why? Because Jesus is a God-man. He's God, but yet he's a man. He's full of feeling for the fallen mankind. Do you know what he did to this leper? He stretched out his hand. He touched him. How many years had that leper not had the touch of another human being? But Jesus touched him and he was healed. This is our Jubilee Jesus. Have you been touched? Has he healed you a little more this weekend? Right? Don't be afraid of Jesus' touch. His touch will heal you. And this leper, once he got touched, man, he just went crazy. He was like, praise the Lord! And he just began to proclaim to everyone that he had been touched by Jesus. He had been saved. When you get
healed, when you get touched, when you get the experience of Jubilee Jesus, you can't help but speak. A demon-possessed man, the Lord cast out the demon. What did he do? He just went and told everybody. He told everybody. Everywhere he went, he told of the great things that Jesus had done. Would you go and tell of the great things that Jesus has done in your life, in your experience, right? He's released you. He's become your portion a little bit more. Would you tell others? What did the Samaritan woman do? She drank of the living water in John chapter 4. She left her bucket and she went into the city and she said, "Come, see a man. Come and see this man. He told me all that I did. Is this not the Christ?" Oh, dear saints, if we've touched Him, if we've drank of Him, the issue would be proclaiming Him. This is the spontaneous result of enjoying Jubilee Jesus. You have to tell someone, right? Don't keep it to yourself. It's too good. It's too good. You have to share this. So this is what we need, saints. We all need this. And you know what? Every gospel, if you look at the end of every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every gospel ends with going to tell someone about Jesus. How does Matthew end? The resurrected Christ comes, and you know what he says? "Go therefore and disciple all the nations, baptizing them." Right? And you know what he says? "Behold, I am with you." Jubilee Jesus is with you. When you go tomorrow to school, Jubilee Jesus is with you. He's with you all the days until the consummation of the age. He's with you every day. You just go and He's with you. If you want to experience Him being with you, go and tell someone. "See, I don't really feel the Lord's with me." Oh boy, you go and tell your friend about Jubilee Jesus, He's with you. You'll feel Him with you. Before that, you weren't sure if He was with you. But when you go to speak, you open your mouth, oh, He's with you. The Lord said, "Open your mouth wide and I will fill it." If you want to experience the Lord, go and preach the gospel. Right? He is with you all the days. What does He say in Mark? He says, "Go into all the creation and preach the gospel." This is how the gospels end. We got saved. We enjoy the Lord. What does He ask us to do? To go. To speak. In Luke, it says that forgiveness of sins might be proclaimed in His name to all the Gentiles, to all the world. Right? In Jerusalem and to all the world. We need to go. And then in the Gospel of John, how does it end? "Do you love me?" Sisters, do you love Jesus? Amen. Brothers, do you love Jesus? Amen. You know what He says? "Feed my lambs." You know what that is? That's to bring the Jubilee to young believers. Bring them into more of God as their inheritance. Feed them with the Christ that you've enjoyed. Shepherd them out of some bondage that they're under. "Feed my lambs. Shepherd my sheep. Feed my sheep." Every gospel ends this way, with the Lord sending us to people. You enjoy salvation? Go tell someone about it. Go bring that gospel. Bring that Jubilee. Bring that freedom to some other human being. Oh, this is the greatest joy that we can have. You know, it's so great to enjoy the Lord. This weekend, it's been such an enjoyment together. But I tell you, there's another enjoyment you have when you share the Lord with other people that don't have Him. They didn't know Him. They didn't know about this Jubilee. When you share them with them, it's like that leper who gets touched. You touch them with Jubilee Jesus, and they are beside themselves. And you will be beside yourself. You will be out of yourself, right? When you share the Lord with others. So this is our burden in this last message.
How about let's read Roman numeral 2 together, okay? We must receive the commission to preach the gospel
and blow the trumpet of God to preach salvation to the world, proclaiming, behold, the Lamb of God.
Behold, now is the day of salvation, the year of Jubilee. So Jesus did it. The disciples did it. The apostles did it. What about you and I? We need to be those who would continue to share the Jubilee. We receive the Jubilee from someone. Someone shared the Jubilee with us. How could we not share the Jubilee with others? How could we be so selfish to just keep the Jubilee to ourselves? We cannot. We cannot. We must receive this commission. We must blow the trumpet. Right? We have the trumpet. We have the ram's horn on our booklet. But I hope that ram's horn would not stay on your booklet. I hope that ram's horn would get attached to your mouth. Blow the trumpet. Let other people know. You have to share this wonderful news. Really, really, saints, consider it. Is there any good news today? Is there any good news? It seems like the only news, the only worthy news, is bad news. All that's shared out there, it's just gloom, right? Despair. California, drought. Russia, wars, Middle East, Africa, Ebola. There's no good news. There's no good news. We have good news. Don't you think people want to hear this good news? This is what every man needs, is the good news that we have. We have to speak this. We have to trumpet this. In letter A, it says the word Jubilee in Leviticus 25:10 means a time of shouting, a time of the trumpeting of the ram's horn, which signifies the preaching of the gospel as the proclaiming of liberty in the New Testament Jubilee to all the sinners sold under sin, that they may return to God and God's family, the household of God, and may rejoice with shouting in the New Testament enjoyment of God's salvation. This is what it is. The Jubilee is a time of shouting. We need to preach the gospel. Again, not just to unbelievers, but to all men. Are there any brothers and sisters that you know that didn't make it here this weekend? Some on your campuses, right? Something came up. Finances, midterms, project, sickness, some that maybe didn't make it that should have been here, right? What should you do? You need to proclaim the Jubilee to them. You need to share what you've enjoyed this weekend with them, right? Bring the Jubilee to them. This is our need today, to sound this trumpet. You know, in Psalms 100 and verse 1, it says, make a joyful noise. A joyful noise unto the Lord. How about let's just take a few seconds right now. If you'd like to say hallelujah, or you prefer praise the Lord, or maybe you're just feeling like a Lord Jesus, I love you, or a hallelujah, amen, O Lord, or a Jubilee Jesus, you're so sweet. Yeah. Just anything that you've enjoyed. Let's just take 15 seconds. I'll time us, okay? 15 seconds. And let's just all, how about let's just stand? And let's just make a joyful noise to the Lord.
Amen.
Ready? Go. Hallelujah! Jesus! Lord, I love you! Praise you, Lord! Jesus is so good! He's so sweet! So lovely! Lord Jesus! Okay. How do you feel? Isn't that refreshing? The other day I was driving on the 91 freeway. I think the Lord made the 91 freeway for many of us to experience the Jubilee. Yeah, I was just driving on the freeway, and I just began to shout and declare in my car, Jesus is Lord. Christ is victor. Lord, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Lord, I'm nothing. I can do nothing. I have nothing. You're everything. Oh, I was just filled with joy. I started looking around. I was wondering if other people were looking at me. I tried to stay in the lane. Yeah. Oh, it was so releasing. It was so releasing. You need to speak this way. In your daily life, you need to speak this way. You need to just exercise your spirit sometime. Just to declare, as Brother Charles shared, declare the facts. Right? All the words in the Bible are the divine facts. We just need to declare them. We need to be freed ourselves. Then we can go and help others be free. Right? If you're not enjoying the Lord, how are you going to bring others into that enjoyment? Right? You bring others where you are. You need to speak. You need to speak. It's so good to make a joyful noise, to sing to the Lord, to praise the Lord. Oh, this is so good. In letter B, it says, announcing the gospel to the poor, proclaiming release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and sending away in release those who are oppressed, are the freedoms and blessings of the Jubilee. Have you enjoyed these freedoms? Have you enjoyed these blessings? I'd like you to look at these verses one more time, right? In Luke chapter 4, we've read them a few times. But this is what we need to do in our speaking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. This is Luke 4:18. He has anointed me. Has He anointed you? You say, I'm not really sure. So let me give you a verse. Let me give you a verse. 2 Corinthians. Yeah, this is a wonderful encouragement, I hope, to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Okay? 2 Corinthians 1:21. Listen to this. But the one who firmly attaches us with you unto Christ and has anointed us is God. You know what it says there? It says that He has anointed us. Freshman sisters, you have been anointed. God has anointed you. Senior brothers, you've been anointed. You've got one more semester to enjoy that anointing in college. Yeah, then afterwards you enjoy it the rest of your life. Oh, but you have been anointed. You might not feel the anointing, but this is the fact. You have been anointed. Jesus was anointed, right? The Spirit of the Lord was upon Him. And all the believers, we have been anointed as well. We have an anointing, it says in 1 John. We have an anointing. Yeah, the Lord has anointed us. The Spirit is upon us. Not only is the Spirit within you to be your life, but the Spirit is upon you to anoint you. To do what? To proclaim. Anointed you to speak. You know what happened in the book of Acts? Acts chapter 2? It was the day of Pentecost. 50 days after Jesus resurrected. 50 days. Does that ring a bell? The Jubilee was 50 years. What is that? So the Spirit came on that 50th day, the day of Pentecost. They were all together praying, and the Spirit was poured out. They were anointed. And they spoke the Word of God. In the Jubilee, you know what's happened? The Lord has come to you as your portion, and He has anointed you that you could speak the Word, right? He's anointing you to speak. So you have an anointing. You've been anointed. When you go to school, remember that. I've been anointed. And you know what happens with this anointing? This anointing, the Lord moves in us. This anointing just gives us a little feeling. 8 weeks ago, I was in Riverside, and we were having a little Bible study on the campus. And one of the brothers had told me that there was a new student that had come to the Bible study.
And they had talked to him a little bit, and they realized he wasn't saved yet. Yeah, he came to the Bible study, but he wasn't saved. You might go to a Bible study, and you might not be saved. And so anyway, he was in that Bible study, and I was there, and we were reading John chapter 3. Isn't that a good chapter to read in a Bible study? Yeah, Nicodemus, right? And the Lord says, you must be born anew, born of water and the Spirit. Yeah, to be regenerated. Oh, this is so good. So as we were reading, going around and reading this chapter, and then we just had a little fellowship afterwards, and I just was kind of, you know, noticing this new one. And he was really interested, really listening to the word that was being shared in the Bible study. And so after that meeting, I just had a little sense in my spirit, you know what, why don't you talk to him? Why don't you talk to him? The brothers had told me he wasn't saved yet. Yeah. Then we'd read John 3. This is a good time, right, to talk about regeneration. So I just went up to him. I said, hey, how's it going? I said, this is a good word today, huh? He's like, yeah. I was like, I don't really understand this matter of the Spirit and in our spirit, you know, the two spirits. So anyway, I just shared with him a little word, and I said to him, you know, I said, it's so simple. If you just pray to the Lord, Lord Jesus, Lord, I open my heart to you. Lord, I want to receive you. Lord, come into me. Lord, regenerate my spirit. I says, you just go home and you just pray this prayer to the Lord. I says, and you will be saved. You will be regenerated. We just follow that little anointing that we have. Dear students, follow the anointing. You have been anointed. And there's an anointing that's moving in you, that's giving you a feeling for someone. Maybe even right now, you just have a feeling for one of your friends that they're at that point when they might be open to hear something of the gospel. You just follow that. So I just shared with him this little word. I didn't give a message. I just shared with him a little word, encouraging him to pray when he went home that night or later, just to have a little time to pray. I saw him 2 weeks later. I went to the Bible. Hey, there he was. Hey, how you doing? He took me aside. He said, you know what happened? He says, after a few days later, after you told me about that, he says, I was just by myself. And he says, and I just prayed that prayer to God. And he says, and I felt something in my head. I had a strange feeling in my head. And then I just began to cry. I just began to cry. And I called up another friend, not one of the brothers, but just a friend of his, and I said, what's going on? And he said, that's called salvation. He told me, he shared this with me. He wanted to tell me the good news. That he had prayed and received the Lord. I said, well, you know, it doesn't always happen like that. Don't always have a feeling in our head and we don't always cry. But I said, but many times people experience something like that. God, it's such a great joy to receive the Lord. You may weep. He's a man. He's a man, don't weep. But when you touch Jubilee Jesus, you might just weep. What a joy to see this young man saved. There's many more like this, right? We heard of some of the testimonies yesterday of some of the friends, just being with the friends in college, spending time with them, and eventually the Lord opened the opportunity to preach the gospel. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, you are anointed. The Lord is anointing you. All you need to do is follow that anointing. Follow that. Don't despise that anointing. No, Jesus, not right now. He's Jesus. He's the Lord. He arranges the whole universe so that people could be saved. He's the leader. He's the Savior. He's arranged everything just so you could speak to that person. He's put you in that class. He put you in that group for that group project. You thought, oh no, I was trying to choose the real smart people so I could get a good grade. No. That was Jesus' arrangement. He put you with that person because He wants you to share the Jubilee.
Just follow that anointing. Pray for them, right? The first thing for your friends to get saved, pray for them. Pray for them. Write a little list, right? Who would you like the Lord to save? Who's the Lord burdening you for today? Pray for them. Then after you pray, you just follow that anointing and you speak, and the Lord will save them. So we have all been anointed. Now, it says in the Jubilee, number one, to announce the gospel to the poor is to preach the gospel to those who live in the world without God and without hope, and who are thus poor in heavenly, spiritual, and divine things. You know what it is to be poor? To be poor is to be empty. If I have this bottle of water and it's empty, you know what I could say? The bottle is poor. It's a poor bottle. Right? What a poor bottle. No water. But it's a water bottle. But it doesn't have any water. What a poor bottle. Look at mankind today. Mankind without God, how poor. To have a life without God is to be poor. Look at those around you. They're poor. Outwardly, oh no, what do you mean? My friend, he's got an Audi. He drives an Audi to school. Poor. Poor. No God. No God. There's many that are around us that are poor. But what about us? We've got Jesus. We've got the riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ we have as the gospel. Wouldn't you share some of your riches with those that are poor? Right? This is what the poor need. They need the gospel. You know what it says in, this is an amazing verse I found in Leviticus 25. Not only are those unbelievers, people without God that don't know God, not only are they poor, but you know what it says in Leviticus, let me give you the verse, 25:25. Leviticus 25:25. It says this, if your brother becomes poor, did you know this? Not only those outside in the world are poor, if your brother, if your sister becomes poor. When we got saved, we got a land. We got a portion of Christ. We're not poor, but we may have become poor. What should you do in your campus, in your small group, in the brother's house, the sister's house, when you see a brother or a sister that has become poor? They lost their enjoyment of Christ. They're not really enjoying the Lord. What would you do? Listen to what the Lord told us to do in Leviticus 25. If your brother becomes poor and sells some of his possession, loses the enjoyment of Christ, then his Redeemer, who is his Redeemer? You say, oh yeah, Jesus is his Redeemer. No. Listen to this. His Redeemer, the nearest relative. You know who his Redeemer is? You know who can redeem the brother who lost his possession, who became poor? The one who's closest to him. Sisters, the one that you're close to. You are their Redeemer. Because you're enjoying the riches of Christ, you know what? You become the one who can pay the price for them to come back to their possession. Isn't this amazing? This is what we need to do. Brother Justin, let's just use Brother Justin and myself as an example. So I see my brother. We're together at OCC enjoying the Lord. Then midterms come. He gets really busy. I don't see him at the meeting. Yeah, then he gets a part-time job. Praise the Lord. Making some money, right? Pay for school. But then he misses more meetings. Yeah, I don't see him. So, my brother, how are you doing? Right? He's not doing too good. He's losing some of his enjoyment of the good land. So I see my brother. So what do I do? According to this verse, it says his Redeemer, the nearest relative. So I'm close to him. I'm his nearest relative. Right? Instead of saying, oh, you know what? Let me go get the, let me see, where's the serving ones?
I think the serving, hey brother, yeah, serving, you're a serving one, right? Yeah, you know what? I think you need to help Justin. How about you? How about you, sister? How about a student? You notice the student next to you, your nearest relative's not enjoying, and you have a burden for them. You pray for them. So what does it say? He shall come and redeem what his brother has sold. Come and redeem what his brother has sold. So you come to the brother. You know what you do? You pray for the brother first. If you see any that have lost their enjoyment of Christ, don't criticize them. Don't judge them. Oh, what a man, Justin. You were enjoying the Lord so much in the college training. Man, now look at you. You're not enjoying the Lord at all. Man, what's wrong with you? Don't do this. Don't do this. And I'll tell you why shortly. But you know what you do? According to 1 John 5:16, we see a brother lost his enjoyment. We see a brother sinning. We see a brother or sister in bondage. Ask. Ask. Pray for them. Ask and give them life.
Amen.
Pray for them and bring Christ to them. Amen. Bring your enjoyment of Christ. Don't blow them away with your enjoyment, but just shepherd them. Feed them.
Amen.
Give them a little of your enjoyment. Hey, brother, you know what? I know you're so busy now. You know what? Maybe I could give you a call, huh?
Amen.
When do you get out of work? 11? You close? Mm-hmm. You close at 11? You know what? I like to go to bed earlier than that, but you know what? I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to stay up so I can give you a call. Yeah. I'll give you a call when you get out of work, okay? And we'll just pray, touch the Lord.
Amen.
You redeem him. You pay the price for him. And he comes back to his enjoyment.
Amen.
Now, listen. A few months later, you know what happens? I become poor. I become poor. I lost my enjoyment. But you know what? I have a nearest relative.
Amen.
And he pays the price for me.
Amen.
He prays for me. He comes to visit me. And he redeems my portion.
Amen.
This is the church life.
Mm-hmm.
This is our family.
Mm-hmm.
None of us is so strong that we never lose our enjoyment, that we never become poor. We need one another.
Amen.
Today, I redeem Justin. Tomorrow, Justin redeems me.
Amen.
Isn't this good?
Amen.
This is the way to take care of one another. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. So the poor are not just outside. We may become poor. We need to redeem one another. This is what we enjoy in our group meetings, in the brother's house, in the sister's house. Now, not only do we have the poor, in two, to proclaim release to the captives is to impart Christ as the emancipator into those who are prisoners of war, slaves, exiles, and prisoners under Satan's bondage, so they can be released and have real freedom by enjoying Christ as the liberating, life-giving Spirit. You need to go to proclaim release. Not only are there the poor that need God, but there's many that are captives, right, under Satan's bondage. You go and you bring them Christ, right, as the liberating, life-giving Spirit. When Jesus comes, He sets us free. Without Jesus, we have no freedom, right? When you enjoy the Lord, you are really free. When you don't enjoy the Lord, you will be in bondage, right? So you need to go to proclaim release to the captives. Then, in number three, to proclaim recovery of sight to the blind is to open the eyes of those who are fallen and turn them from darkness to light so that they may see the divine things in the spiritual realm, which requires spiritual sight and divine light. So many of our friends, so many on the campuses, they're blind. They don't see the real situation. The world is Satan's mask. The world is Satan's mask to capture and possess man. but no one sees it. But this weekend, you see it. Your eyes have been opened a little bit more. You're not blind. So you need to go to help open the eyes of the blind. Right? Open the eyes of the blind. Speak to others. Pray for them that their eyes could be opened. They could see the divine things in the spiritual realm. Then, number four, to send away and release those who are oppressed is to bring those who are being oppressed under Satan in sickness or sin into the enjoyment of Christ as the release of God's salvation. Many college students today are oppressed. I read something that over 30% of college students say that they are depressed. One in three of college students in a survey, they say that they're depressed. Depressed to the point where they cannot function normally. Yeah, depression. Depression is just weighing down many young people. Financially, maybe relationships, family problems, many things weighing down college students. They're depressed. They're oppressed. They're under many things. We need to go, right? We need to go to send the good news to them and to release those who are oppressed. You just go and speak a word to them, right? And you will help them to be released, right? This gospel of the Jubilee that we're speaking is a releasing gospel. This releases people from so many bondage, so many kinds of bondage. Now, let's all read letter C together. The Lord appeared to Saul and commissioned him as a minister and a witness of the full gospel, composed of 7 points, revealed in Acts 26:18, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, to turn them from the authority of Satan to God, to help them receive forgiveness of sins, to help them receive by faith in me and in my inheritance, a common portion among the saints, and be in the church life among those who have been sanctified. In Luke 4, it's the Lord. In Acts 26, it's the Apostle Paul. It's the same thing. The same gospel that the Lord spoke is what the Apostle Paul speaks. The same thing that we should speak today. This is the full gospel. The full gospel. We see in these verses, in Acts 26:18, actually right before that in 16, let me read to you. The Lord appeared to Saul and he said, "Rise up and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose." Dear saints, why did the Lord appear to you this weekend? For a purpose. He appeared to you for a purpose. He showed you the Jubilee. He brought you into the Jubilee for a purpose. To appoint you as a minister and a witness, both of the things in which you have seen me and of the things in which I will appear to you. The Lord has shown you some things this weekend. You need to go and witness. Just tell others what you've seen. You may not understand it all. You may not be able to explain it all. You may not know all the verse references. That's okay. Just witness. Tell them what you saw. I saw Jubilee Jesus. I called on His name. I'm very happy. Good enough. Good enough. That's it. That's your gospel. That's okay. Or even you just say, like some of the brothers did in John 1, come see a man. Come and see Jesus. That's all you can say. You don't have a lot of words. You don't have a lot of explanation. You just say, come. Come to the home meeting. Come to the Bible study. That's your gospel. Witness. Witness. Speak what you have seen of the Lord. Whatever you see, you need to speak. And then the Lord will show you more. And then you speak more. This is what the Apostle Paul did. So, the Lord told him this. He said, you need to be a witness of the things in which you have seen me and the things in which I will appear to you.
Then the Lord told Paul, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles. The first thing the Lord does is He delivers us. The Jubilee is a deliverance, right? Is a release, is liberty. We need to be delivered from the world. But you know what? The funny thing is, the Lord doesn't deliver us. Maybe this weekend, oh, He delivered us. Praise the Lord. We all came up to En-Gedi. We came up to Big Bear. We're delivered. And now we're going to live up here our whole lives. Amen. No. He says, I delivered you so that I could send you back. So today, you know what He's doing? He's sending us back. He delivered you. He brought you this weekend so that He could send you back. But not send you back the same, but to send you back with Jubilee Jesus. Send you back with your inheritance. Send you back a little bit more free from all the bondage. He delivers you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I send you. To do what? To open their eyes. We have to pray to the Lord, Lord, open my eyes. Lord, I see a little bit this weekend, but Lord, there's much more. Lord, take away all the blinding. Lord, all the veils. Lord, all my concepts. Remove them all, Lord. That I could see You clearly. That I could see You, Lord, face to face. We have to pray this way, that the Lord would appear to us. Then we can speak to others. And what do we speak? To open their eyes. To turn them from darkness to light. Have you been turned from darkness to light? Are there anything still in your experience, in your being of darkness? Or are you completely in the light? Is everything in the light? Is your living in the light? Right? Your room, is it all in the light? When you go into your room, are you filled with the light of God? Or are there things on the wall that still there's some darkness, some shadows on the wall? There might be things that you have. There might be websites that you visit that are in your favorites. It might not be light. It might be a little darkness. So we have to turn from darkness to light. We have to turn from the authority of Satan to God. Is there anything of the authority of Satan, any bondage, anything of the kingdom of Satan still in our lives? We need to turn. We need to turn. This has to be our experience first. Then we can help others to have this experience. What happens when our eyes are open, we turn from darkness to light, from the authority of Satan to God? You know what we receive? Is forgiveness of sins. All of us, we need a thorough forgiveness of sins. How is the relationship between you and your parents? Is everything good? Are there any offenses there? How about with the brothers in your brother's house, the sisters, right? Your siblings? We need a thorough forgiveness. Amen. Thorough forgiveness. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm wrong in so many things. Lord, just grant me Your forgiveness. A real forgiveness of sins. Oh, you know what happens? When you receive a forgiveness of sins, then you receive more of the Spirit. More of the Spirit. The more you're forgiven, the more you're anointed. See, I don't feel really the Lord's anointing very much. It may be that you haven't confessed your sins for a long time. Long time. You know where the anointing comes? Anointing comes where the blood was. Wherever the blood was that cleansed, the anointing comes on that. When you're cleansed by the Lord's blood, you're forgiven of all your sins, the anointing will be rich in your experience. Yeah, forgiveness of sins. And then finally, among those, we receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. You know what this is? This is the church life. This is the church life. We enjoy an inheritance. When you have your eyes open, when you're free from all the darkness, all the authority of Satan, you're forgiven of all your sins, you receive an inheritance. You receive God as your inheritance again. Yeah, but you know what this inheritance, it's among those. You know what this is? This is the brothers and sisters. It's among those. Your inheritance is among others. You don't just receive your own inheritance by yourself. Your inheritance is among those. So you need to be with those to enjoy your inheritance. Maybe you haven't enjoyed the riches of Christ because you've been isolated. You've been alone. You've been doing your own thing. Yeah, you come to the Bible study once a week or you go to the meeting once in a while. But you're living, your life is really individualistic. Really independent. So you know what? You miss the inheritance. The inheritance is among those. In Ephesians 1, it says, His inheritance is in the saints. When we enjoy Christ, then we enjoy our inheritance. His inheritance is within us. It's within the saints. You have to be with the saints to enjoy this inheritance. I'd just like to share with you these verses in Acts 2, and then we'll finish. This is the Jubilee right here. In Acts chapter 2 at the very end, listen to this, verses 46 and 47. You may have read these before. It says, and day by day, would you like to have a Jubilee day by day? Not conference by conference, but day by day. Continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple, in the Bible study, in the big meeting, and breaking bread from house to house. They partook of their food with exultation and simplicity of heart. This is the Jubilee. And you know what they did? They were praising God. Praising God! And having favor with all the people. And the Lord added together day by day those who were being saved. This is a picture of the Jubilee. The inheritance is with those. The inheritance is in the homes. The enjoyment of God is with all the brothers and sisters. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Don't be by yourself. Be with those. Be in the church life. Now, come to the last few points. Before we can preach the gospel, number one, before we can preach this full gospel, we must go before the Lord and pray that our own eyes would be open and that we would experience each of these items. If we experience the whole gospel, we will not merely be preachers, but we will be witnesses, telling people of what we have seen in the presence of the living Lord. Our preaching must be the issue of what we have seen. Spend time with the Lord. The Lord will shine on you. The Lord will infuse you with all that He is. Then you go and you witness. You just speak what you've enjoyed. You speak what's filling you. This is what it is to be a witness. How about letter D? Let's read together. We must proclaim the Jubilee by being commissioned, not by a doctrine or a theory, a religious creed, or any theology, but by a heavenly vision of the divine things concerning the dispensing of the triune God into His chosen, redeemed, transformed people. I hope you would receive this commission today. This is our privilege to preach the gospel of the Jubilee. This weekend, the Lord has shown us a little bit more of His heavenly vision. Whenever you see the heavenly vision, it always brings you into the commission. Vision produces commission. Vision produces commission. So, what should we do? We should sign up for the college training. Because the college training is on vision and commission. I didn't plan this. Yeah, it's just It's just the last point of the outline of the whole conference. You can't miss an opportunity like this. Mark the dates, July 12th to the 18th. Set apart that week. If you think this weekend was good, how about a whole week of the Jubilee with 1,000 college students from all over the earth? You got to be there. I want to be there. I don't know if they'll let me go. Yeah. I'm not quite college age anymore. But this is, I really encourage you. I hope for these next 9 or 10 months, you would have a living of the Jubilee. So let me give you 3 final words. And they all start with one word. Enjoy. Okay? What should you do now that we're finishing the conference? To maintain a living in the Jubilee, you know what you should do? Number one, enjoy the Lord. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy Jubilee Jesus. Call on His name all the time. Sing. Don't stop singing after this weekend. Continue singing. In your car, wherever you go. The other night I was grading chemistry lab reports. Hymns Radio. Hook it up. Hook it up. Hymns Radio. It's got all the best hymns. And you just enjoy that singing. And it'll carry you through any kind of chemistry lab reports. Yeah. Sing. Enjoy singing. Pray. Spend time with the Lord. And you know what? Whenever you feel bondage, whenever you lose your enjoyment of Christ, confess. Confession is a way to enjoy the Lord. Call, sing, read the Word, pray, and confess. This is the way to enjoy the Lord. Number two, after you enjoy the Lord, enjoy the Word. Enjoy the Word. The Word is full of all the riches of Christ. The Word is full of His riches. So enjoy the Lord and enjoy the Word. And number three, enjoy the church life. Don't forget, if you become poor, there's many relatives nearby you who can redeem you. Never leave the church life. The church life is the way for us to maintain a life of the Jubilee. I couldn't be here by myself without the brothers, without the fellowship, without the support. None of us can maintain a life of Jubilee without the other brothers and sisters. So enjoy the church life. Okay? How about let's read the focus, and then let's just pray with our neighbor, and the brothers will direct us. After receiving...